Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. If you did not get one of these little outlines here, please raise your hand. You need to have one of those so you can follow along, please. If you did not get an outline, raise your hand, and they'll be sure to give you one. I'm going to need the remote. So today, we're looking at continuing our lessons on the spiritual warfare we're in, the battle that we're in, that we face every day as Christians, that battle. And so as we think about this battle, we talked about some strategies, and we need to consider these strategies that we have to face this battle. So today we're looking at the helmet of salvation, that we're to put on the helmet of salvation. Let's bow in prayer as we begin today. Father, we thank you for this day. We come to worship you. We come to look at your word. We ask that you would open our hearts, that we would receive the word of God. Pray for your anointing to speak the words you have to be spoken. Father, we pray for those among us who are ill, and we pray for their infirmities, their sickness. We ask that you would heal them, your hand be upon them. Father, we pray that our this time we would focus on your word. We would focus on what you would have to say to us today, and we would apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can't find a remote, so we're just using... Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay. So our first strategy, let's kind of do a review here. Our first strategy is that we have to have to overcome our weakness with strength. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We need to have a strong heart. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, I don't want to be a part of this battle. I don't want to be a part of this warfare. But we are called to be soldiers of Christ. We're called to be followers of Christ. And as followers and soldiers of Christ, we need to be strong and not in our strength. So we overcome our weakness with His strength. This is our first strategy. Our second strategy, as we review this here, is overcoming falsehood with truth. And here we're reminded to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That belt, the truth of God. We know that we're faced with a lot of lies and falsehoods, and we need to put on the belt of truth. So as you think about that in the morning, you get dressed. You wouldn't go anywhere without getting dressed. Well, spiritually, in the morning, we need to put on the clothing that God has given to us, the armor of God. So we face with a strong heart. We put on the belt of truth. And then number three, the third strategy for overcoming. We overcome evil with good. We put on the breastplate of righteousness that covers our heart like a bulletproof vest. Now, policemen cannot go out without putting on their bulletproof breast. This covers them and protects their heart. And then strategy number four, overcoming anxiety with peace. Stand firm with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We talked about this. We're anxious. We're troubled. And we need to put on the shoes of peace. Peace with God, our relationship with Him. And the other shoe is the peace of God. In our minds and in our hearts, we have both the peace with God and the peace of God. And then the fifth strategy for overcoming, we talked about overcoming fear with faith last time. So in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we take that shield of faith, the darts that are thrown at us, accusations or whatever that might be, we take the shield of faith. We talked about faith as not only a shield, but faith is also a journey that we are to walk. So these are the five strategies we've already discussed. Just a quick review of those five strategies. If we want to be victorious, we want to be overcomers. So today we're going to look at strategy number six for overcoming. And here we're to take the helmet of salvation. Taking the helmet of salvation, we are to overcome confusion with wisdom. Now, there's a lot of confusion in the world today. There are a lot of different thoughts about things in the world today. Foolishness. And we need to overcome those things with wisdom. So this is very important that we put on this helmet. Let me tell you a little story here about the helmet. There was a sergeant by the name of Thaddeus Lewis, and he was in the Afghanistan, a village in eastern Afghanistan. On October the 4th, 2012, he heard bursts of gunfire, and so it struck him in the head. Now, he was stunned. His ears were ringing. His head was aching. Yet somehow, he was alive. His what was called the Advanced Combat Helmet, bulletproof helmet, had saved him from certain death. And so later they presented him with this plaque with that helmet that had saved his life, reminding him that he was saved by this helmet that saved his life. And so we put on the helmet. I reminded one Christmas, my brother and I, when we were little, we did a lot of things together, and we liked to play football. And for Christmas, we got football helmets. And one was purple, so we painted the symbol for the Vikings. The other was red. So the only team that had red, of course, was the Chiefs. Had on those helmets. And my brother and I would play outside wearing those helmets. But this is not just a game. In Taiwan, I'm reminded that I learned how to ride a motorcycle. And always, never went out without a motorcycle helmet on to protect. And yet many times I saw people without helmets on, riding motorcycles, and young people weaving in and out of traffic. And many times I saw accidents and saw the results of not wearing a helmet. And there are many Christians who do not wear the helmet that God has provided for us. And so we need to understand what this helmet is. First of all, it's called the helmet of salvation. So what is salvation? Perseverance or deliverance from destruction or difficulty or death. It's a general word for salvation. We often use this word, someone who's saved from drowning or whatever. The helmet, salvation. But then we look at particularly Christian salvation. When we as Christians talk about salvation, what do we mean as Christians? The deliverance from the power or penalty of sin. It's not just the forgiveness of our sin, but we're delivered from that power of sin over our lives. And the penalty of sin, that we do not have to face that penalty. It is the rescue from sin and death, the renewing of the spirit, and the restoration to a right relationship with God. So we need to understand, what is Christian salvation? Are you saved? We need to understand what that means. Now, the source of this salvation, of course, in Isaiah 59 and verse 17, we see the first mention of helmet with salvation. Isaiah says the helmet of salvation on His head, protecting our thoughts. So we are rescued. We have the rescue, the renewal, the restoration is accomplished through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Son, who came to this earth. We think about this time of year, Christmas. God became a man, came to this earth, gave His life, died on the cross, rose again the third day, and He is the source of our salvation. I do not work for my salvation. I cannot work for my salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. So I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By God's grace, through Christ, I am saved. And then, here we have the assurance of salvation. When Paul writes here in Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation, he's writing to believers, not to unbelievers. So people who have already received salvation. So the purpose of the spiritual helmet was not to impart salvation, but to give the believer the assurance of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul said this, the hope of salvation as a helmet. The hope of salvation as a helmet. Today, I want to ask you, do you know that you are saved? Do you know that if you were to die today, whatever might happen, whether it be maybe a car accident or whatever, if you were to die today, do you know that you would go to heaven? And do you have that assurance of salvation? I want you to look with me at 1 John chapter 5. Have your Bibles here. 1 John chapter 5. I remember when I accepted Christ as my Savior, reading these verses, my mother reading these verses to me. Chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 John 5, 12 and 13. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you received Him in your life, you have eternal life. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. Coming to church is good to hear the Word of God, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's not being we talked about this before. If your parents are Christian, that doesn't make you a Christian. There are no grandchildren in heaven. All right? Every person has to receive Christ to become a child of God. But look with me at verse 13. 1 John. John wrote these things. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. The assurance of eternal life. And that's a helmet. So we have doubts. We have those bullets of doubts that come at us. We have the helmet of salvation. We know that we have eternal life. So it's very important, this helmet of salvation. You know that you're saved. So what is this helmet? In the Roman army, helmets of common soldiers were made of hardened leather. The officers' helmets were augmented with metal. They put metal on top of those helmets. All right? So we have the common soldier, the helmet that he would wear, and then the officers would have metal on them, make it even stronger. And then the senior officer helmets were topped by crests, plumed crests, kind of looked like this. So the Roman soldiers would wear helmets like this to protect every part of their head. Their thoughts. So also the same purpose, to protect the skull, the brain, from the blows inflicted by the enemy. Just as a physical helmet protects the soldier's brain, the spiritual helmet protects your mind from the assaults of Satan's lies and his philosophies, the confusion of thought that we have in the world we live today. There is also a metaphor of the mind of Christ. Paul called Christ the wisdom of God. In Jesus Christ, we have the wisdom of God. And also he called it the wisdom from God. The wisdom that came down from God. So in Philippians 2:5, Paul said this, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." So as Christians, when we put on that helmet, we are putting on the mind of Christ. Think about that. We're putting on the mind of Christ. So what does that mean? What is the mind of Christ? Well, let's get some descriptions here that we might understand what the mind of Christ is. First of all, what is information? It's a stating of facts. We live in an information age. All you have to do is look on the internet. You can find all kinds of facts. And we like to spout off facts. But there's a difference between information and knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge involves the accumulation of facts. Putting these facts together is knowledge. Accumulating these facts is knowledge. But then what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to achieve the best outcome. Now, let me before we go to that illustration here. So, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. You ask the young people, what's a tomato? Is it a fruit or vegetable? Well, it's a fruit, not a vegetable. But wisdom is knowing not to put a tomato in a fruit salad. All right? You don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. It's a fruit, okay? That's right, it's a fruit. But you don't put it in a fruit salad. Maybe this little sketch here would help us understand what it means here. Information. All right? Information looks around. Well, that's a tree. That's grass. There's a rat. There's the rain or whatever. Information can name all the different things. That's information. You can name it all. Knowledge is kind of putting it together. Rabbits eat grass. Grass grows in the soil. The rain falls from the clouds. The wolves eat the rabbits, etc. You know, you can put that information together. But then wisdom is this. If I kill off all the wolves, the rabbits will eat up all the grass, and the soil will all wash away. So that's wisdom. See the difference here? Wisdom is being able to apply the knowledge we have to life. All right? So there's information, there's knowledge, and there's wisdom. And we have to understand the difference between these. We live in lots of information, this information age. We have lots of knowledge, but do we have wisdom? Do we know how to apply these things? Wisdom is also about practice. Wisdom is acquired through our efforts to learn, to grow, to improve, to study. It's not automatic. It's not instantaneous that we get this wisdom. Wisdom is also about our perspective. How do we see things? From the world's perspective, or do we look at it from God's perspective? And that's what wisdom is all about. It's getting God's perspective. How does God see things in our world? God simply says to us, just take this one little step into the light I have placed in front of you. And I will see to it that your faithful action will fit into the overarching plan and accomplish God's goals and our good. So what is God's perspective? That's wisdom. I want to gain God's perspective. I want wisdom. And then wisdom is also about patience. Although we can't always see how all the details in our lives are fitting together, we don't see all that, how it's going to fit together. But God has revealed to us the ending of our story. We know the end of the story. We keep our eyes on the prize, the hope of a future eternal salvation through Christ. We navigate life in the light of eternity. We live wisely means we live with a big picture in mind. God's will, God's purpose in mind, no matter what comes at us. God promises to give to overcome confusion, to learn to respond as He directs us through every situation. We want God's wisdom. It involves patience. It's not saying I want God's wisdom, give it to me now. I have to have patience. We talked Friday night with the young people about patience. Patience is enduring a long time without getting overheated, your anger going out of control. We have to have patience toward people and patience toward our situation that we're in. Patience also has the idea of putting yourself, arranging yourself under the order there. That's our word perseverance. To persevere, to continue. So we need patience. We need wisdom. So wisdom is about practice. It's about our perspective. It's about patience. Now, very important we do our application of this. So we ask the question here, what are ways to get wisdom? How can I get this wisdom? How can I put on this helmet, the wisdom of God? First of all, James 1:5, we ask for God's wisdom. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we simply ask, Lord, help me to know what to do. Give me your wisdom. Give me your understanding. Give me your perspective on this. We read through the book of Proverbs. It's suggested there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. You could read it chapter every day to gain the wisdom that are found in Proverbs. Many promises God has given to those who seek after and obtain His wisdom. Here's some Proverbs I want you to consider here. Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding. So as we apply ourselves to get God's wisdom, God is a blessing upon those who find wisdom. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So wisdom is a treasure. You search for it. You find, you dig, you get that wisdom from God and from His Word. Wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion or discernment. Very important we discern right and wrong. Will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So all this is part of God's wisdom. So God wants to plant the seeds of His wisdom in us. But before those seeds can take root, we must prepare the ground of our minds to receive them. God wants to give us His wisdom. But there are four different attitudes that are very important to receive God's wisdom. We need these four attitudes. First of all, we need humility to hear God's wisdom. A lot of times we run across people like this, they think they know it all. I don't need that, I know everything. They have the attitude of knowing it all. And Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool does not receive instruction, does not receive God's wisdom. Job also tells us, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Now here's a good definition of the fear of the Lord. Help us understand what that means. The fear of the Lord is that indefinable mixture of reverence, respect for God, for fear of God, the pleasure of God, the joy, the awe that fills our hearts when we realize who God is and what He has done for us. The fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is our attitude toward God. That we are teachable, that we are humble before God to hear His wisdom. And then we need number two, the attitude here of hunger. Hunger to seek God's wisdom. Hungry to know God's wisdom. In Psalm 119, we're instructed to seek God with our whole heart 6 times. We see this phrase in Psalm 119, with our whole heart. We're told to keep God's testimonies with our whole heart. Keep them in our hearts, God's Word. Seek God's commandments with our whole heart. Obtain God's Word with our whole heart. Entreat God's favor with our whole heart. Keep God's precepts with our whole heart. Cry unto the Lord with our whole heart. I wonder, do we do that with our whole heart? 100% seeking after God's wisdom. Or are we half-hearted? We don't, 100% wholehearted. Had the opportunity when I was younger to play sports. And I was on the basketball team at junior high. And, I probably wasn't the best player on our team. In fact, I didn't start. But I figured I'd try to make up with it by hustling. By putting forth the effort to hustle with 100%. Gave it 100%. The third attitude we need is hearing to truly listen to God's wisdom. Are you a good listener? Am I a good listener? Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Listen to advice. Do we listen to God and listen to godly advice and accept discipline? And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Pay attention. Turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them on your lips. Are we teachable? Are we good listeners? Do we listen? Charles Bridges was a writer. He wrote this. He was a Christian writer. We gather knowledge when we listen. We spend it when we teach. But if we spend before we gather, we'll soon be bankrupt. You cannot teach others what you do not know yourself. You have to gather God's wisdom before you can share it with others. So we're reminded of this. We have to be good listeners. But not just listening. Number four attitude is this. A heeding heart to follow God's wisdom. Deuteronomy 4:5-6. I'd like you all to read this with me. Would you please read these verses with me? Deuteronomy chapter 4:5-6 together. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show you wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So God instructed the Israelites that they were to be a wise and understanding people, and they would do that by observing and by observing God's commands, they would show their wisdom and understanding. Think about this here. You're not wise. We are not wise because we have God's Word. We are not wise because we desire God's Word. We're not even wise because we read God's Word. We're wise only when we keep and obey God's Word. Now, yes, we have to take and read it. We need to understand it. We need to desire it. But it's only by keeping and obeying it that we have wisdom. So here is a summary. A humble spirit says, I need God. Say that with me together. I need God. A hungry soul says this, I desire God. Say that with me together. I desire God. A hearing heart says, I will listen to God. Let's say it together. I will listen to God. But finally, a heeding mind says, I will obey God. Say that together. I will obey God. So these are the four attitudes that we need to have to receive wisdom. I need God. I desire God. I will listen to God. I will obey God. And then the key application here is this. Be filled with God's wisdom. Let God's wisdom fill our minds. That we have the mind of Christ. Fill our minds with God's wisdom. We put on that helmet. We have the mind of Christ. In Colossians, it tells us this. Colossians 1:9. We continually ask God to fill you. This is a good prayer. To fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Parents, we pray for our children. This would be a good prayer to pray for our children. This is a good prayer to pray for ourselves. That we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives us. Wisdom, think of this, wisdom guides us in overcoming the confusion of our lives. There are so much confusion around us. It is acting with skill on what is known and trusting God with what is unknown. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we move faithfully forward, steadily, in the light of His wisdom. So in the morning, I put on that helmet of salvation. I'm asking God, give me wisdom today. And to have wisdom, again, is to apply knowledge to everyday life. So we obtain knowledge by reading God's Word, and wisdom by meditating upon that knowledge. Now, I have some Bible reading schedules for next year here. And I could either put them on, some on the table or some in the back there. I would like to encourage all of us, wherever you are in your walk with God, to read through the Bible. Now, if you're a seeker, you remember you might start with the Gospel of John and the other Gospels. If you're a believer and you haven't finished reading through the New Testament, make that your goal. And on one side here, it has where you can read through the Old Testament every day, a portion in the Old Testament and a portion in the New Testament. And it's kind of a different order here. Starting with Genesis in the Old Testament and Romans in the New Testament. That could be your goal. Now, there's three methods here of Bible reading. There's another one here where you're reading the day of the week. Maybe on Sunday you're reading through the epistles, different parts of the Bible. Monday you're reading through the law. Tuesday you're reading through the history books of the Old Testament. Wednesday you're reading the Psalms on Wednesday night. We're going to be studying the Psalms on Wednesday night and learning how to praise God and use those Psalms to pray to God, turning those Psalms into prayers. Poetry on Thursday, prophecy on Friday, and then the Gospels on Saturday. Whatever you would like to try, I want to encourage all of us to have a plan to read God's Word. So these are available to you to encourage you to do that. Now, as you stand firm against the attacks of the devil, because you have put on God's truth, His righteousness, His peace, His faithfulness, His wisdom, His Word, we have all the dimensions of the armor of God because we are clothed with Christ. Put on the armor of God. Paul also said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So every morning we get dressed physically. We also need to prepare ourselves, get dressed with the armor of God, clothe ourselves with that. When Harry Truman, when Harry Truman with the reporters the day after taking office. Harry Truman, you know, is from Independence here. He's from Missouri. And he was vice president at that time. He'd just been made vice president a short time. And then, suddenly, President Roosevelt had a heart attack and died. And so he said, he told the reporters, "I don't know whether you fellows ever had a load of hay fall on you, but when they told me about President Roosevelt's death, I felt like the moon, the stars, and the planets had fallen on me." Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you feel confused. And that's kind of what he felt at that time. But I want you to notice what he did. A few days later, in Truman's first address he gave before the joint session of Congress, Truman expressed his dependence on God for wisdom in the face of his new responsibilities. In a short period of time, he had become president. And so these are the words of Truman. "At this moment, I have a heart of prayer. As I have assumed my duties, I humbly pray to Almighty God in the words of King Solomon, 'Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" Now, he was overwhelmed. He prayed this prayer to God. And so we're reminded, Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all who follow His precepts, His word, have good understanding." You're overwhelmed. You're confused. We need to put on the helmet of salvation. We need to have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God, to overcome that. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, I do pray for each of us here this morning. We want to be victorious in our walk with You. We want to be victorious and be overcomers in the spiritual warfare. And Lord, we're often overwhelmed and confused, not knowing what to do. And Lord, we need to put on the helmet of salvation. We need to put on the mind of Christ. We need the wisdom of God. And so, Lord, I pray that You would give us Your wisdom. Help us to seek Your wisdom. Help us to have the heart attitude that would seek for You and Your wisdom. Lord, I pray today, give us Your wisdom and give us a heart that seeks after Your wisdom. Give us Your perspective and Your way of looking at things. Lord, that's what we need. And help us to never go out as Christians without wearing our helmets. Help us never to face any situation without the mind of Christ. To put on that helmet every day and every situation. The mind of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.